Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right. I tell you what, from my home studio in Fort Collins, it sure is. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend and a great weekend to get outside in our wonderful state. And I'll tell you what, people are. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we have no youth sports. You can't go to a movie. People aren't going out and eating, obviously, yet. And there's just not a lot to keep people inside. And I think even people who haven't regularly done outdoor activities are turning to them, and that's fishing, camping, hiking. And we're going to talk a little bit during the course of the hour and making sure we're respecting the resources as we do that. But we're also hoping that a lot of you who get outdoors are going to make it a mainstay in your life, because it can bring so much to your life. There's such a value system and such a way of bonding in outdoor activities that hopefully a lot of people will get reawakened to that. Speaking to outdoors, there's a real outdoor enthusiast going to join us right now. We'll go to the phones. And joining us, he's a Hall of Fame fisherman. He's the host of Lake Commandos Fishing on Television. He's become a very good friend of mine, and that's Steve Panaz. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
You know, I'm doing okay. And are you? I assume you're seeing the same things in Minnesota, that more people are going out than ever before. Is that what you're seeing?
You know, fishing licenses are up year to date to over 40% in Minnesota, and I'm hearing that from other states. And what's interesting is you just get out either on the trails or in the woods or on the water, and there's people out. And it's so much fun to see that you see families and friends and things just enjoying the outdoors. And that's really a wonderful thing.
Well, and it hasn't totally reflected in retail sales yet. But we've got to remember that the big box stores and even the small dealers were closed for several weeks. And I think we'll see a catch up there in outdoor sales, because we need to support those people as this industry grows. So hopefully we'll see that take place, and we'll see a lot of people camping and fishing going into the future. But speaking of fishing, that's what you and I want to talk about. That's truly one of both our passions. It's driven our careers in the outdoors. And one of the things that Lake Commandos does is you go to new lakes, bodies of water you're not necessarily familiar with. And I think a lot of people are faced with that right now. I'm going to some place, either I haven't fished in a long time or I haven't ever fished before. And how do I start? What do I do? And there's a few tips and tricks, I think, that you can pass on to people. And even if it's a lake you fish a lot, it's going to change, especially out here in the West. You know, back in the old days when I was writing for In Fisherman, we used to say FLP, the fish, the location, and the presentation. And that probably hasn't changed much, Steve.
No, that's still a brilliant and really a key factor in terms of, you know, locating fish. But one of the nice things about fishing new bodies of water is you go into them without any memories. And that allows you to approach it fresh and really let the water and the fish tell you what to do. And that's one of the things I like to do. So there's really three things I like to use. I like to use seasonality. The spawn drives everything. During the summer, these fish are, you know, they're kind of in their midsummer patterns. In the fall, they're a little more unpredictable, but still catchable. And then, you know, the other thing is I like water clarity. I really like, if you got a super clear body of water, I usually start deeper. If it's more turbid, I'll start shallower. And then the other thing I like to do is make sure that I have, if I got two or three guys in the boat, everybody use something different until the fish give you an indication of what they want. Just yesterday, I was on a small river right by my house, and buddy of mine was throwing live bait on jigs, and he caught three or four fish, and I had nothing on soft plastics. And yesterday they wanted live bait, so I switched over. It was key. But if we had both been throwing soft plastics, we probably wouldn't have known that. So, you know, those are three of the things I like to use.
Well, I know we're going to talk about, once you start catching some fish, patterning them then so you can have a more successful day. The biggest problem I have is after decades in this industry is that the fish have never attended my seminars or read my articles. They have no idea how they're supposed to act. So, you know, and the other thing is when I tell somebody what they should try to an approach to go somewhere and fish, it works for them. And then I go out to the same spot and it doesn't work for me. So, but you know, there's so many variables in fishing, and we go out and day to day, hour to hour, it changes. But I know you're a huge proponent of pattern fishing. Kind of tell people what pattern fishing is.
Well, really what pattern is when you build the right pattern, you know where the fish are, your approach to them is the most effective. So things like weight of the lure, the size of the line, the size of the sinker, the direction that you're bringing the bait into the fish, the color of the lure, all of those have an impact. I'll never forget one of the early trips on Lake Commandos. We were fishing a power plant lake in Texas, and we were both throwing Berkeley Trigger Crossing Green Pumpkin on a 4-aught hook with an 18-inch leader on a Carolina rig. But this young man I was fishing with was throwing it on a 3/4-ounce weight, and I was throwing it on a 1/2-ounce weight. He had a fluorocarbon mainline, and I had a braided line for a mainline. And we pull up to this spot, and our lures land 10 feet apart, and he catches a fish. And over the next 10 minutes, he caught 5, and I caught none on the exact same lure. And I turned to the camera. I said, I don't know why this is making a difference, but I switched to a 3/4-ounce weight, and I switched to a braided to a fluoro mainline, and I caught a fish on the very next cast. So there are those little things that can make big differences. And as you build patterns, you want to look at every element of your presentation and start tweaking them until you start, you know, really developing what the fish want that day.
And that's really what it's about, isn't it? You still have to obviously understand probably what's going on with those fish. You have to go to the lake with a little bit of a game plan. Are they in the spawn? Would they typically be shallow this time of the year in this weather? You need a starting point, even if that's not where you end up. And then you have to find some fish, but then you have to refine what you're doing. And having different anglers, sometimes I've been on trolling. When I used to cover the PWT for In Fishermen, we'd be trolling a huge body of water. And one angler in the boat, but he'd have, depending on how many lines he could have, he might have 2 or 3 different lures at different depths behind the boat. And as they caught more fish, he would adjust the other lines, not on just one fish, because one fish doesn't probably tell you enough. That could actually almost take you away. You need a little bit of repetition, don't you think?
You really do. And the one thing that I found is salmon, particularly, especially in the Great Lakes, they would get it down to a certain color combination on a spoon. And you could have a red spoon with a bright green stripe catching a ton of fish. And you could have a same color spoon with a different color green stripe and not catch a fish on it. They were that particular. And you see some of that in walleye fishing or bass fishing, not to that extent typically, but it does show you that little tweaks can make a big difference.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story. Then I want to get down to maybe breaking down a few smaller lakes and all people. But I had a son, Jeff. He passed away. But Jeff and I used to fish together quite a bit. And Jeff loved to troll, and I loved to jig. So we were out on this lake, and we were fishing for walleyes. And I wanted to jig for him, and he wanted to troll. So finally he kept bugging me. I said, okay, we'll troll for an hour. If we don't get any, we're going back to jigging. And I found we were going to use nightcrawler harnesses with bottom bouncers. And I found this huge, ugly, off-color green spinner blade in my box and put that on his bottom bouncer, thinking no self-respecting walleye would get within 10 feet of it, right? And I put on what I thought would be the best. I don't remember what it was, but, you know, so at least I'd catch a couple fish. Well, after he had 5 and I had none, there was not another blade like that in the world. And it just showed you the little differences, what you said, things can make. It's just amazing. But suppose I'm you know, maybe I'm not a seasoned angler, but I'm approaching a new lake. And what are some of the things I keep in mind? And do you power fish at first? Do you finesse fish? Do you really start out with what you think is best? Or do you try to locate the fish first?
You know, one of the things I'd like to do is ask other anglers if they've been on a body of water. Just go online or talk to someone at a bait shop or or a friend and just say, hey, I'm going to the lake. I'm not a real seasoned fisherman. Could you provide any tips that would help me get on fish? And I think the first thing is key is the location. If you're shore fishing or from a boat, to make sure you're kind of in the right zone, because one of the truisms in fishing, you just can't catch anything that isn't there. And then I would start more of a medium presentation, meaning that, you don't have to go ultra light, you don't have to go power fishing, but it's something that's more subtle in presentation, and let the kind of build from there.
Now, when out here in Colorado, we tend to have a lot of clear water. So when it comes to, you talked about going through your choices of presentations, if I'm really searching, I might start with a brighter color. But typically out here, whether it's a hard bait or a jig, I tend to throw very neutral colored presentations because the fish out here see a lot of presentations, and I try to give them no negative signals. How do you approach that part of it?
I think that's a great approach. I mean, I think when you have pressured fish, I fish on a lake that gets over 400,000 hours of fishing pressure a day, a year. On it. I'm looking out the dock right now, and I see about 15 boats running around in the spots that I fish all the time. And the key is you just need to do things a little bit better. One of the differences between a fish that's eating and a fish that's biting is that there's times when you can trigger a strike, and that's from real erratic actions. If you're out there trying to feed them something like a minnow or something that would just really an insect type thing where they have to feed to want it. That's different than triggering strikes. Sometimes when you have an erratic action bait or you're fishing faster or more aggressively than other people, a lot of times you can trigger bites. So it's almost a reaction like you drag something by your cat and they turn and jump on it real quick. And actually, if you can trigger strikes, you're going to be more effective than trying to feed fish.
No, I think you're totally right. And I think you and I both being avid ice anglers, I think we realize that at times that sometimes when you're downsizing and finessing through the ice, and where finesse is the king, that sometimes getting a spoon or something that's making a little more commotion will, if not catch fish, will at least draw fish in and get a reaction. And they're just out of instinct, they'll hit it. I don't know if it's anger or they can't help themselves or what, but it does work. So there's a lot of tips to that. But now you're catching fish. What are the first take us through the aspects of what you look at. Do you look at the depth? Do you look at the color, the weight, the whole presentation? How do you analyze it?
It's interesting. If you're fishing a hard bait, say a crankbait, a lot of times if you look at how the fish is hooked, it really helps you figure out if you're on the right pattern. So the fact that you got bit is a good thing. But if that fish is hooked in the top lip by the back hook on the treble, they may have taken a swipe at it and you just had to have good hooks and got lucky that you caught that fish. That's much different than you've got a fish that T-boned the bait and you've got both the front and back hooks in it, or they've completely engulfed the bait. Then you've got a situation where you go, I've got the right bait on, I've got the right color, and so that's something I would stick to. But if I'm starting to catch fish, but they're just pecking at it, that's the thing where I'll start playing with different colors, different sizes, different presentations until I start getting those bites that really indicate that they want to feed on that bait.
This is going to be the toughest question. Both of us having fish tournaments, both of us been around filming television where we really had to produce bites on a timeline. You're catching some fish, but it's erratic. You really haven't established anything. When do you move from fish to find fish?
That's a tough question because you just never know when those fish are going to turn on or off. A lot of times there'll be schools of fish that will turn on at a certain time of day, and you actually want to try and hit those, what they're called feeding windows, where you want to be there at the right time for those particular fish. That's especially true on muskies. You may raise a fish two or three times, but you can't get it to bite. And you come back and you start playing with what time is it going to feed. But on those other ones, the nice thing about fishing new bodies of water is without memories, you're not going to sit on a school as often or as long typically as you might if you have memories. I mean, I've heard it a million times. I was here Memorial Weekend last year or 2 years ago, and we really killed them on this spot using this method. Well, that particular season might have been a much earlier spring or a much later spring, and memories can really hamper you in terms of sticking to locations or spots or baits or things that much longer than you should. And so I'll give fish the time. But if I'm not feeling good about it, I'll hopefully have secondary or third spots that I could go to, particularly if there's a lot of boat traffic over the fish that I'm on.
Well, I think I want to go circle that right back around what you said earlier about doing some homework. Today with the internet, fishing reports, anglers out there, and even just people out fishing that you can talk to at the boat landing and things, it's really it's really more important than ever to get this information because it's so available, isn't it?
It really is. And I think there's been a big difference between even a generation ago when people were catching fish to feed their families. It was more secretive. And of course, that's still there. But I do think that one thing has changed with the generation that are fishing now is they're more free to share their information than even just, 10, 15 years ago. And, I still struggle with that because I don't want to give away all my spots. But at the same time, if somebody comes up to me and says, hey, what are you using? I'll say, I'm using this particular bait, this particular color. And, I'm fishing a lot, say 12, 15, 18 feet of water. And, here's a tip to do it. And, it's fun to help people go out and experience success on the water.
Yeah, I'm going to go through one last topic. And I know Julie from Colorado Parks and Wildlife is on the line. We will get to you in a couple minutes, Julie. We will take plenty of time, I promise, because I want to talk about Steamboat Lake, where you're calling from. But the last thing is, when I get off the water, I try to share with people. You and I have made a career out of that. But I can tell the type of information I need to give an angler if his first question is, what did you catch him on? Or is it, what depth were they at? You get that?
I get that. Most of the time you can understand at what level they understand fishing by the first question that they ask. And, if they're beginner anglers or younger anglers especially, I really want them to enjoy success. And I'll flat out say, fish this spot and use this bait, and, you should have success. But I do think that the depth is more important than the bait in most cases.
No, I do too. And locating the fish, like you said, obviously, but we could talk about this for hours, Steve, and there's so much more I want to go over with you. We need to get you back on the show soon because I want to talk about some new developments and baits and lines and things that you and I have both been experiencing over the last several months and get people up to date. But we are out of time. But I want to thank you for joining me. Folks, I will post a podcast of this on my on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. And Steve, how can people find you if they want to get a hold of you?
Best place is just go up on Facebook and like Lake Commandos or my personal page. I think I've eliminated enough guys there for political posts of late that there's probably room on there as well. But no, I'd love to connect with some of your listeners and appreciate the opportunity to be on with you again.
And maybe we'll get on the water this year. You never know. We'll see how this COVID thing goes.
Oh, I'd love it. I would enjoy it.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Hall of Fame angler Steve Knavs, host of Lake Commandos. We'll take a quick time out. Then we're going to talk to Julie from Colorado Parks and Wildlife from Steamboat and cover a number of topics on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.